I'm delighted to be here today, and I'm going to start things off with a story. Once upon a time, a husband and wife were getting all snuggly in bed. And the passion was heating up between them. And suddenly the wife stopped her husband and said, "Honey, I just don't feel like it tonight. I just want you to hold me." Now this turned on confused husband said, "What?" His wife launched into an explanation that he just wasn't in tune with her emotional needs as a woman. He realized that not much was going to happen on this night, and he thought he might as well accept it. So the next day, he decided to take his wife shopping to her favorite department store. He went straight to the dress department, and there he picked out three gorgeous outfits for her to try on. She was flabbergasted at his efforts to please her, especially after the night before. But she tried on all three. She couldn't decide which one she wanted. And he said, "That's all right, honey. Take all three." Next, he suggested she needed shoes to match. And so they went to the shoe department. And there she picked out three expensive pair worth $200 each. And then they went to the jewelry department, and she got expensive necklace and earrings. She began to think that her husband had lost her mind, but she was so excited, she didn't care. She was delirious with excitement now, but she couldn't figure out what was going on in her husband's head. Okay, she finally said, "Let's go to the cash register and pay for all this stuff." Now the husband said, "Oh, darling, you've misunderstood. We're not going to buy all this stuff." Her face went blank. "No, honey," he said. "I just wanted you to hold all this stuff." Only just begun. We've got some seats over here, a few seats in here. This is going to be a long road. You know what? Her eyes narrowed and she did a slow burn. She was about to explode when he said, "You just aren't in tune with the emotional, sexual, or financial needs as I have as a man." And you know, this is just about the way it goes these days. If you ask a woman if she understands her husband's emotional needs, oh yes, she understands. But you ask the husband, and he says, "No, she doesn't know as much as she thinks she does." And it's the same way with men. Ask men if they understand their wives' emotional needs, and they think they understand. But it really isn't so easy. It's like Charlie Brown. He says, "Love is being happy, just knowing that she's happy." But that isn't so easy. But today we're going to unravel the mystery, because it's not hard to understand what those emotional needs are. You just need a little bit of learning, and I'm here to tell you what that is. We're going to look first at his needs and her needs, the number one need in a marriage. All right, a woman's number one need is for love and affection. Now, everybody the world around needs love and affection, but there's something about a woman that needs it a little bit more. And one bewildered husband didn't understand this. He said he couldn't understand his wife at all, that he'd given her everything she wants and needs. She had a new home and a new car and new furnishings, and they'd recently cruised the Caribbean. And he said, "She has everything she wants and needs. What's the matter with this woman?" But the woman says she's miserable, and he couldn't figure out why. That's because he had never learned that she wants something more than just the material goods that he could give her, that she wanted his love, his time, his affection. Now, when I see couples one-on-one, I do quite a large amount of marital counseling, and I do an interesting thing when a couple is seated in front of me. You know what I asked them to do? I asked them to grade their marriage on a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is high, 1 is low, and I always ask the man to grade his marriage first. Now, where do you think the average man will grade a marriage? Actually, a man grades high. So the average man will grade it along about an 8. 7 is low for a man. Now, where do you think the average woman will grade a marriage?
3, 4.
Although one woman said -2. And her husband graded it at a 10. I thought, hey. She sold her piano and moved out, and he's still saying it's a 10. That's how little he really knew about things. You see, why do husband and wife see things so differently? Well, you see, to him, as long as he has clean clothes to put on in the morning when he gets up, as long as he gets meals served on time and sex when he asks for it, everything is hunky-dory as far as he is concerned. But you see, a woman has to have more. A man is ready to settle for a business arrangement of sorts, but she needs the romantic part of that relationship, the love part of that relationship, to continue going. I have a cartoon at home that shows a woman going to her husband and saying, "Honey, do you love me?" No response. She asks him again, "Honey, do you love me?" No response. Finally, she gets a little agitated and she screams at me, "Don't you love me anymore?" He said, "I told you 29 years ago that I loved you. I have not changed my mind. If I ever do, I will let you know." No, that man, that is not good enough. She needs to hear it a little more frequently than every 29 years. It's a woman who longs to be special to her husband. She loves that feeling of being cherished and loved. And this explains why anniversaries mean more to her and why it upsets her so much should he ever forget something like that. And it also explains why a woman is constantly reaching for her husband, not so much in a physical way, but in an emotional way. She wants to be special to him. In fact, I frequently say that a woman has inside of her a great, huge holding tank, a tank that needs to be filled with love. So a smart man, before he even gets up in the morning, will whisper sweet nothings in her ear as he puts his arm around her. Over breakfast, he will actually smile at her. He will give her a pat in a little special place as they pass each other in the hallway. And over the lunch hour, he'll give her a call on the phone. And not to remind her to pick up his suit at the cleaners, but to say, "Honey, I've been thinking about you. Can't wait for you to get home to me." And over supper, he will compliment her on some food that she has made. And after supper, he might say, "Honey, let's go for a walk together." Now, that's like asking her for a date. And by the time that day is over, that huge container is full of love. It's a huge one. "Man, you've worked so hard. How long should that huge container of love last? That should be good for a month or two, right?" Not for a woman. No, it spills out, and overnight it's gone. And a smart man has to start all over again the next day. This is the Peanut series, and this is Lucy, and she's in love with Schroeder. But who's Schroeder in love with? Piano and Beethoven, of course. But if she ever wants to see him, she has to go to the piano. So she says, "You never call me honey butter. If you called me honey butter, I'd tingle all over." "Forget it," he says. So much for tingling, she says. You see what would make her day? A little attention from him, but he won't give it to her. You know, the former president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, was known as an incurable romantic for his wife, Nancy. And he wooed her throughout their 50-plus years of marriage. They adored each other to the end. He always wrote her an anniversary letter. And one anniversary he wrote, "This is the day that marks 31 years of such happiness that comes to few men. It has been like an adolescent's dream of what marriage should be like, and that dream hasn't changed." He wrote her a letter at Christmas, "When you aren't there, I'm no place, just lost in time and space." He wrote her when he was away from her, "I more than love you, I'm not whole without you. When you are gone, I'm waiting for you to return so I can start living again." He often wrote her for no reason at all. Even while he was sitting in the same room with her, he would still write to her. In the end, he wrote her over 700 letters, which have been published in a book now. Now, in his final years, he wasn't even capable of communicating with Nancy due to that dread disease, Alzheimer's. But did you know that Nancy stayed in the same room with him, slept in the same room with him every night for the last 10 years of his life? Why would she do that? Why sleep in a room with somebody that you can't even communicate with? Well, you see, it was payback time. He had been a faithful husband, a loving husband to her for all those years, and now she was going to be faithful to him to the very end. This is a courtship that lasted for 50 years. Any man who is smart enough to provide love and affection on a daily basis for a woman is going to have a woman who will love him and be devoted to him till the end of her days. All right, the second need that I'm going to mention today is a woman needs romantic attention. Now, some men are born romantic, other men need a little help. Now, Shirley and Larry had been married for 2 years. For Valentine's, the first year, he gave her a calculator. Now, she was hurt, but she forgave him because he was so wonderful in other ways. So she overlooked this offense. She thought in time he would learn what it is, what a woman wants on Valentine's Day. Fellas, let me give you a hint. It's never, calculator's never going to be on that list. Shirley was dead wrong. 7 years later, she had collected a set of stainless steel pots and pans, a sewing machine, an electric can opener, a microwave oven, a new iron, and a four-slice toaster. 8 years, he forgot all together. She was giving him the silent treatment for 24 hours. He knew she was angry, but she couldn't figure out, he couldn't figure out why. Now, an upset husband called me. His wife had just asked him for a divorce. I said, why does your wife want to divorce you?
I don't know.
I said, go ask her. So he goes and asks her, why do you want to divorce me? She answered that with the question, what color are the walls in the kitchen? That's why I'm divorcing you. And George began thinking. He had lived in that house for 7 years, but he had no idea what color the walls were in the kitchen. And suddenly he remembered. He paid attention to every detail at work, but at home he didn't pay any attention to anything. Didn't pay any attention to his wife, less attention to the kids, and no attention to the wife, the home. The wife was beginning to feel invisible, that she didn't matter to him anymore, that all she was to him was a cook and a house cleaner and somebody to raise his children and a sex partner. She wasn't having a romantic relationship with this man anymore. And she was very upset. So what George didn't understand was that she needed to have a romantic relationship with him. Now, when this happens to a woman, she will feel taken for granted. She receives no romantic attention, and she will become angry and bitter and resentful, and she'll begin to distance herself from her husband. The distancing starts first. A man called me on the phone, and he said his wife was acting weird. Now, whenever a man calls me and says that his wife is acting weird, I know what he's talking about, and I said, your wife is getting ready to leave you.
Oh, no. No. His wife never leave him.
No way. 2 weeks later, he called me.
My wife is gone.
I said, I told you 2 weeks ago that she was going to leave. But see, he didn't even hear it. Men don't get it when that distancing starts. But that's the first signal that she's about ready to leave. But men, you can begin to change all this by noticing your wife and paying attention to her. Lisa and Randy were celebrating an anniversary. Lisa goes out and she buys a lovely new dress, and for the night that they're going out to celebrate, she has her hair done, she has her nails done, and she spends a long time in the bedroom getting dressed. And when she finally comes out, she feels a little bit like a sex goddess. And her husband is already dressed, and he's watching TV and tapping his keys, waiting to go. And she comes out and takes a spin through the room. He doesn't say anything. So she finally says, well, how do I look? He says, you look fine. Let's go. How happy do you think Lisa was? Or let's grade the word fine on a scale of 1 to 10. 1? Yeah, it might be better than saying nothing. But you see, how much fun do you think Lisa and Randy had on an anniversary evening, all because he didn't understand how much it means to a woman to get a compliment? Or two. One woman said, I could have my head shaved. Fred wouldn't know the difference. So what I recommend is the 5-second compliment. I don't like to give you long, involved homework assignments. But you know, what can I say to my partner in 5 seconds that will make them feel special? Let them know that I'm noticing, that I think she's pretty. That dress looks great on you. It shows off your waistline. You know, honey, you're one good-looking doll. Now, grade that on a scale of 1 to 10. That's an 11, right? All right. Or you take my breath away. I couldn't ask for a greater lover. So even if you've said it before, say it again. Even if you think she already knows it, say it again. Remember, a woman doesn't want to have to ask you how she looks. She wants all of this done spontaneously. This, too, is romance for a woman. Isabel, will you bring me my little pack of cards out of my briefcase? If I could hold my husband out as a shining example of anything, it would be the fact that he loves to romance me. Sometimes he brings me cards, and sometimes he brings me presents, and sometimes I get flowers, but I don't have time to show you all of these today.
But
he loves to, I can share some of these with you. I get romantic cards. I get cards for no reason at all. I get cards with a mushy, gooey message all over them. I have a teddy bear collection, so life would not be complete without a teddy bear card. I get this kind of a card. I get sexy cards. This one I found on my pillow after I'd been away teaching seminars for a couple of weeks. I discovered the new indoor sport to keep me busy while you're away. Wall climbing. But this is my favorite one. I miss you so much that when I think of you, tears well up in my eyes and they roll down onto my hot little body and do the skinny. And I into a fan, and we write each other notes sometimes. And when I came home not long ago, I found he made up all these little business cards and left them all over the house. It says, "Nancy, darling, it sure is good to have you home. I love you." And he tries to tell me he's saving money now because, well, he buys so much stuff for the computer. You know how that goes? And now he tells me he's saving money because he can make me cards on the computer. This is the kind of card I get at Christmas time. And I've won the grand award for being the world's best wife. Then it's fun to get one of these fancy three-dimensional cards that folds out like this. Women love these cards. But my favorite card is this one. It was given to me on a very special occasion on our 20th wedding anniversary. And I had candy and flowers and gifts and didn't know what to get into first. So I grabbed the card with love to my wife on our special day. I read the verse very quickly, saw that he had signed it, "Love, Harry," and was just ready to toss it aside so that I could get into some of the presents. But then I saw something that was written over here in the corner, and he had written, "And may the next 20 be even happier." Do some guys know how to get through to the heart of a woman? Now, what is it that got through to me? Was it the pink of the card or the flowers? Was it the verse? No. Who wrote the verse? Somebody at the card company. Man, please notice something. No woman wants to hear from the card company. She wants to hear from you. So give her the cards. Every time that you do give her the cards, write her a special little message, and she will keep those cards forever and ever. Though I risk repeating it again, I will say, send your wife flowers, write her a note, send her a card, and treat her to a surprise. Now, if you are totally and completely romantically impaired, let me give you a hint or two here. Number one, call her during the day to say that you missed her. Number two, put a card or a love note in her purse or lunch. Number three, ask for a date to be enjoyed without the children. Number four, compliment her in front of a friend. If you give her a compliment, one of these five-second compliments at home, I'll give you 100 points. But if you compliment her in front of a friend, I'll give you 1,000. Why? Makes a total difference. Now she gets to enjoy it in front of somebody else. All right, now, let's say you pick up flowers at the supermarket for her. I'll give you 100 points. That's one good husband. But if you have flowers ordered at the florist and have them sent to where she works, I'll give you 1,000 points. What's the difference? Now all the people at the office are saying, "Your husband did that for you? Does he have any brothers?" And they all think you are just wonderful. So that's what she needs. All right, you know, we all, oh, and number five, use endearing words with her often. But you know, we all need a little dose of affection from time to time. So now let's talk for just a moment about a man's needs. A man's major, number one, emotional need is for admiration and appreciation. A man had just been elected president of an organization in town, and he had to deliver an acceptance speech. And the night came, he had worked so hard on that speech. He said he never worked so hard at any speech in his life as that acceptance speech. And all the members of the organization were there with all their wines and all the guests. He gave his speech. And afterwards, all the men came and thumped him on the back, told him how well he had done. But the one person he wanted to hear from the most never said a word. Who was that person? His wife. He said that was the beginning of his search for appreciation. Yes, men need appreciation from others, but most of all, they need to hear it from their wives. In one large city, a 24-hour recording over the telephone turns out tender messages for lonely men. If you dial this message, this phone number, a sultry woman's voice will croon to you over the phone, "You're the most exciting man I've ever met." And after a pause for effect, she continues breathlessly, "I wonder if the real woman in your life realizes how lucky she is." And softly she adds, "I do." Now listen, ladies, if your husband is so starved to hear words like this that he has to dial a number on the telephone and listen to a recording, things are not going well in your house. And guess what happened in my last seminar? 3 men raised their hands and said, "Nancy, what did you say that telephone number was?" Now, what does a man need appreciation for? First of all, his physical attributes and his masculinity. Ladies, the next time your husband is standing in front of the mirror doing his grooming thing, just watch him for a moment. Just stand back and take a second look. He may not notice that his hairline is receding there just a little bit. He may not notice that he's gathering a little paunch here around the middle. He doesn't notice these things at all. Do you know what he does when he looks at himself in the mirror? He squares his shoulders. He sucks it in a little bit. And he growls, "You tiger, you." And that's your job. To keep him looking like a tiger. Feeling like a tiger. Because when he feels like a tiger, he's going to treat you differently. He's going to be more responsive to your love needs. So before your husband heads out the door in the morning, look him over. Give him a pat on the back. Tell him how great he looks. You know why you need to do that? Because I don't care where your husband works. There are 10 other women there that would like to have him if you don't want him. And you don't want any of those cute little things going by and admiring him a little bit. No, you want to do the admiring. You understand, ladies, that men have a great big tank, too. But you fill it with a little bit of stuff. This is different stuff. This is, you see, it's not a one-way street with men always fulfilling a woman's needs. No, men have needs, and women need to do their part as well also. So admire and appreciate his talents and abilities. What skills does he have in connection with his work? If he has a great idea, tell him so. Is he a good father? Does he help you around the house? Give him a 5-second compliment. Think, what can I say to my husband in 5 seconds that will make him feel good about himself? What is there that I can admire and appreciate? Honey, you're really smart. The way you handled that business deal was nothing less than brilliant. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, if you could really look inside of a man's brain and see what it is he really wants to hear, if you could hear his heart cry, this is what it might sound like. Tell me why I'm important to you, and tell me over and over again, not just once. Every day of my life, compliment me. Point out all my good qualities. I want to be your knight in shining armor. I want to be your hero. Tell me why I make a difference in your life. Please notice, there is nothing more important to a man than knowing you are proud of him. And a man also, one of his 4 basic needs is sexual fulfillment. And a woman was getting dressed to go to work one morning, and she had on one of those dresses with a long zipper down the back of it, and those are really hard to get zipped up yourself. So she turned to her husband and she said, "Honey, will you help me with this zipper?" "Sure, he'll help." Up and down goes the zipper and a little fooling around. Up and down goes the zipper and a little more fooling around. Up and down goes the zipper and break goes the zipper. Now, she had an important business appointment that morning, and now the zipper is broken and she has to put the dress aside and get dressed in something else. She's steaming. Okay, so she goes to work and she comes home. She's kind of forgotten it by the time she gets home, so she comes in the house and she yells, "Honey, I'm home! Yoo-hoo! Where are you?" And she can't find him. She goes from room to room all over the house. She can't find him. She goes into the garage. Oh, there he is, under the car. She knew he had a problem with the car, so there he is, with only his legs sticking out. He's in jeans, working on the car. Jeans. Uh-huh. Zipper. Uh-huh. And she goes over to the zipper and begins madly zipping the zipper up and down, back and forth, up and down. Oh, she is so proud of herself. She has gotten him back now. And into the house she goes, into the kitchen area. There stands her husband. Emotional dimension to a sexual need. And some women do not have a clue what sexual fulfillment really means to their husband. But sex does something for a man besides take care of his urgent sexual needs. It reaffirms his self-worth and his masculinity. There's the emotional dimension to all of this. And when a man's sexual advances are treated with indifference or they are rejected, it hurts him more than anything else. But when a wife looks forward to, eagerly anticipates lovemaking, this does something for his maleness that nothing else can do. And to a man, sex is another language, a way of communicating love to his wife when words fail him. When he can't put his feelings into words, he can release his feelings through sex. And a wife needs to understand this process. It also helps a fair-proof your marriage, because when a man marries, what he's really doing is promising sexual fidelity for a lifetime. He trusts his wife to be sexually available when he needs her. Some men find this to be the biggest mistake of their life. Some men will put up with it, others will not. And remember, ladies, a good sexual encounter boosts his self-esteem. It's like giving him a pat on the back. It affirms his okayness. Now he can go out there, he can tackle the whole world with confidence because his battery is fully charged. That's what sex does for a man. Well, that was a weak applause. All right, so what I just covered is part of chapter one of the book, His Needs, Her Needs. There are actually four needs, emotional needs for the woman, and four for the man, and I've only covered two in just one You have to read the book to find out what the other two really are. All right, let's take a look at lesson two, which is how to live with an imperfect person. Now, I've got a lot of experience with that, but I didn't know that when I met Harry, because I was on the search for the perfect man, and when I met Harry, Harry was the perfect person, and at least he was as long as we were dating. He was absolutely perfect. Now, when did Harry change? Probably on the way to the wedding, or the honeymoon, something like that. Now, what are the big differences between Harry and Nancy? The big differences are, I'm fast in everything that I do, and what is the fast person, Harry?
The slow and easy going kind.
Now, how did I get to be such a fast person? We were born in Washington State, and we would travel to Los Angeles when I was a kid. When I was with my dad, we would take a notebook, and we would actually time these trips. And if it took us 21 hours to get there, we would try to make it back in 22 hours. And we would think that 21 hours, and we would think that was something wonderful if we had saved a lot of time. And then I married Harry, and all of my life changed. Now, Harry went to school at Pacific Union College in Northern California. And after we were married and had three children, we were going home to visit my parents. So we loaded the kids in the car. It was nighttime, and we start off on our trip. And we get so far on the highway, and he says, "Honey, have you ever seen Shasta Dam?" "No." Now, how would I ever see Shasta Dam? It was 10 miles off the road. We were never allowed to see anything like that. We had to get from point A to point B as fast as possible when I was with my dad. See? All right, so what do you think happened in the car when he makes a left-hand turn now to go 10 miles off the road to see Shasta Dam? There was a minor explosion in that, which awoke the three children. And now we drive this long distance out. He parks the car above the dam, and this is a lovely sightseeing area up there. And it's nighttime. He gets out of the car, and he stands there, and he looks. And here is the dam all lit up, the water coming over, Mount Shasta in the distance, moonlight night. He says, "Honey, come out here and look at this. This is gorgeous. So I know we're not going to get on the road again until I go out and look at that dumb dam." So I get out of the car and I stomp over there to look at that dumb thing. "Yes, it's beautiful. Now can we go?" But he's not through yet. Now we have to drive down the hill, across the dam, and come back. And when we get back, he says, "Look, here's a park." He says, "There must be 200 deer." How would he know there were 200 deer there in the park? Because he's got the time to stand there and count every last deer. This is the way my life with Harry was going. Now, let's bring it down to everyday life. Let's say that I'm going to ask him to run to the store. I'm cooking supper. I run out of an ingredient that I need. Will he go to the store for me? Oh, yes, he'll go to the store for me. When will I see the man again? 4 1/2 hours later, he'll come back. What happens to him along the way? Oh, he will find a friend in the supermarket. If he doesn't find a friend in the supermarket, he will make a friend. Let's talk about shopping. First of all, I want to teach you the right way to go shopping. The right way to go shopping is my way, of course. And I make a list, and I keep the list all week long. You don't want to shop too often. The more times you go to the supermarket or any other place shopping, the more money you're going to spend. I'm a saver. He's a spender. These two people find each other always. So he goes, so I go shopping and with my list, and when I go, I drive very rapidly where I need to go, and I go in the store, get what I want, go over here, get what I want, go over here, get what I need, and I'm home again. Now let me tell you how Harry shops. This is the wrong way to shop, by the way. He will make a list, okay? So now he drives slowly to the mall. okay? And he walks slowly inside. I wish Harry were here today so you could see him walk. You would know what I'm talking about. And he gets inside the mall, and now he reaches for his list. Guess what? Can't find the list, okay? So now he's at the mall, but he doesn't know what he's there for. So then he goes in this store. And then he begins looking at every shelf in the store. Now, I have the ability to go to the door of a store, and I kind of case the joint. I don't have to go in there, and I just kind of give it a glance over. If there's nothing in there that I want, well, I go in there. See? Saves me a lot of time, a lot of money. But Harry goes in and looks at absolutely every shelf. Now, remember all those little things he buys for me? He has the time to look for them. I never see them, you see, because I'm going through life so rapidly that I miss all of this. All right, now, let's say that Harry and Nancy are going to go for a walk together. Uh-oh. We can't even walk together without getting into an argument. Why? Because I want to walk fast. Guess how he walks? Always slowly. But for purposes of illustration here today, I'm going to slow down and he's going to speed up so we can at least walk along together. Got the picture? Okay. So while I'm walking along, what do you think I'm doing? I'm planning another book. I'm working with chapter titles. I'm doing all kinds of things. What do you think he's doing? Oh, honey, look at these beautiful trees over here. Notice they got all different colors of green in them. I didn't even see the trees. Then he'll say, oh, honey, did you see that beautiful bird? No, I missed the bird. And then we go and we find a little pond. Now guess what he has to do? He has to bend over, pick up a stone, toss it in the pond, and stand right there and watch while the ripples move out to the side. Now my question for you today is, who's right and who's wrong? How many of you think I'm right? I'm leaving. That was a total of two hands. Now I'm trying this again. How many of you are the fast-paced, you're the aggressors, you're the doers? I want to see you all right, now I don't feel quite so bad. Now, how many of you are think Harry's right, you're the slow and easy going kind? Somehow I think you're seated right next to the person that, you know, isn't that the way it goes sometimes? And I really felt that my way was the right way, that Harry was wrong, and that he needed to learn to speed up. And you know what? I spent 15 years of my life trying to make that man run at a different speed. And you know what? God never set me up as the authority on any of this. I had to learn to accept Harry's slower, more easy-going ways. And I'm happy to say that I did learn my lessons. Am I always perfect? No. But I was a lot like Lucy. Lucy plays the part of the psychiatrist, and here she says to Charlie Brown, "Aren't you lucky to have me around to help you see yourself as you really are?" No, if we want to see it ourselves as we really are, what will we do? We will go to a counselor. We will ask the counselor to show us who we really are. We do not want to hear this from our married partner. And remember also, the need to remain right always sacrifices what? Intimacy. So if you want the close kind of relationship that I'm talking about, you've got to give up that right to be right all the time, because you will never have the close relationship that I'm talking about. Now, we each have an EBA, an emotional bank account, and it works just like your bank account at the bank does. When you are putting deposits in, when you're being nice, your relationship is going beautifully. But when you are nagging and criticizing and making fun of your partner or doing the negative, you're going to be taking withdrawals out, and the relationship goes bankrupt. Now, let's look at some of the destructive habits that ruin a relationship. One is nagging. He never fixes anything around the house. He never takes me anyplace. He won't talk to me. Nag, nag, nag. And then angry outbursts are another one of those negative things. In an angry flash, we can teach our partners a lesson. We can say something hurtful. This sometimes includes name-calling, profanity, even violence. You know something? The angrier you are, the uglier you are. And this can have devastating results on a relationship. And finding fault and criticism is another negative person. One researcher has said that the strongest predictor of divorce is criticism. So if you want your marriage to end, all you have to do is criticize your partner. And it's next to impossible to feel positive about anybody who has just criticized you. You do not want to be in the same room with somebody who has just criticized you. And the thought of getting in bed and making love to somebody that has just criticized you is beyond thought. So one of the biggest things that these negative things do is kill love. Well, maybe you say, is it possible to change? Yes, I've been a nag, I've been critical with my partner. Is it possible for me to change? In the book, I give 7 different strategies, 7 ways of changing your negative behavior. But I'm only going to give you one today. It's work on changing your reaction to the situation. Now, Sandy was unhappy with her husband. He was the kind that was constantly making belittling remarks to her. Now, she didn't like it, and she asked him to stop. But he said, oh, you know I love you. I'm only kidding. You can take it. And he just kept up doing it. She couldn't stand it, so she went to a counselor. And the counselor gave her a new strategy to use. And the next time she comes home, the next time that he says this little critical thing to her, which he thinks is funny and she does not, she doesn't say a word. She simply grabs a notebook and begins writing. He says, what are you doing? Oh, she smiled sweetly at him and she said, darling, sometimes you say the most memorable things to me and I don't want to forget them. So I'm writing them down. And you know what? Within 2 weeks of her doing that, saying not a word to him, just pulling out her notebook and beginning to write these things down, he stopped doing it. His behavior changed, not because she asked him to, but because she changed her behavior, how she was reacting. Did you know that any situation can be changed by changing your reaction to the situation? It worked for me. One day, Harry and I reached an impasse. I realized if I was going to save my marriage, it was going to have to be me changing. I've been working on him for 15 years. I hadn't changed anything. It was getting worse. It was now or never. So I did a complete internal overhaul. He became a new husband. I became a new wife. We became a new couple. Remember, if you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you've always wanted. So, the foundation of a highly effective marriage is to find somebody who will accept us just the way we are. We all want somebody to accept us just the way we are. And that's the foundation. The first chapter is how to have a happy marriage. The second one is how to... That's the foundation. We all want acceptance. We've got to have it, or we're not going to have the marriage we really want. Third chapter goes into, why can't my partner understand what I say? Now, 730 marriage counselors were asked to list the most common problems they dealt with in marriage. And they found that communication is the number one problem. 60 to 70% of marital problems would disappear if couples could only learn how to listen to one another. Now, my question to you today is, who is a better listener, men or women?
Men.
That's the men saying men, that's the women saying women. What do the studies say?
Women.
Actually, studies say that women are the better listeners. That, you know why that is? Because when women are listening, they tend to nod their heads and say, uh-huh. Now, it's not brilliant, but at least you know somebody's there. And this leaves women with the impression that their husbands aren't listening, and men think their wives are over-listening. But what women really want is a listening response. Now, let's look in on an average couple. The husband is at the breakfast table reading his newspaper. The wife is sure he's not listening, but she asks anyway, "Are you listening, dear?" "Oh, yes, dear," he replies. Frustrated, she shouts, "The baby has jungle rot." "Yes, dear," he replies. "And the inspector just condemned our house because it's being eaten by a giant new breed of termites." "Yes, dear," he replied. "And the communists have just bombed London and shot the president." "Yes, dear," he replies. Exasperated, she slams down her cup of coffee and stalks out of the room. Hubby peers over his paper, shakes his head, and thinks to himself, "Who in the world can understand a woman?" Now, if you ask this man if he was listening to his wife, what would he say?
"Yes, dear."
"Yes, dear." But what kind of listening is that? You see, the wife would not consider this listening.
Subliminal.
And yet I want you to understand, if you don't listen to her, really listen to her, she will feel that you don't love her. And you know what? She's going to talk louder and longer just to get your attention. So, here are five powerful listening secrets. First of all, maintain good eye contact. All right, let me tell you a little story about Harry. Do you like these Harry stories? Okay, we'll end with a Harry story. We'll end with a Harry story. Do you like that? Okay, Harry is ordinarily a good listener, but one day he just really failed me. I had something very important to tell him, but you know what? Everything I have to tell Harry is important. But this day it was really, really important, and I'm in my office at home, and I come out and meet Harry in the hallway. I love to meet Harry in the hallway. How wide are hallways? You know, I have my man trapped right in front of me. And we're eyeball to eyeball now, and I begin telling him this very important thing. You know what he did? He looked over my shoulder and down the hallway. You know what I did? You know what he did? You know what I did? You know what he did? I said, "Harry, you're not listening to me." He said, "Go ahead and talk, honey. I can hear every word you're saying." Have you ever tried to talk to somebody that's not looking at you? How does it make you feel? Invisible? I don't do the invisible act very well. So I finally said, "Harry, what is it you're looking down at down there?" And he says, "Honey, did you know that the picture on the wall down there is crooked?" I said, "Harry, I've got a really good idea. Well, let's go down and fix the picture on the wall so that when I am talking to you, you can listen to me. And Mother Paul wants me to talk. Sit attentively when you're listening, act interested, raise your eyebrows, say uh-huh, and invite your partner to say more with simple little things like, I see, you don't say, tell me more, I'd be interested in your point of view, tell me the whole story, and don't forget to listen with your hands. Listen more and talk less. By the way, God gave you how many ears?
Two.
One, two. Count them. One, two. How many mouths?
One.
All right. That's it. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Of course, all of this is Gates. This is based on my beautiful new, brand new book, just published by Stanborough, A Highly Effective Marriage. And I only went into the first three chapters of that. The next chapter is Understand Your Mate. Why did God create male and female so differently? And of course, the last chapter deals with the sexual arena. And I do believe that God created sex. And of course, I've got another beautiful book here. Any of you are truly interested in the subject of communication, heart to heart. This is truly a thorough communication is such a complicated thing. I couldn't cover it in just 30 pages here. So I wrote another whole book on the subject of communication. So I will be happy to autograph your books in just a few minutes when they show me where to go and how to get there. And I'll be happy to see you there and autograph your books for you.